Dear brother, Brother Robert has chosen as his choice for his subject today, then, now, and forever. And Brother Robert, may the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Ron. Dear brethren, just in case I need a reminder somewhere along the line, I'm going to go off on the program. Brother, it's good to see your faces. Bring the love of the North Seattle Baptist students to Cleveland to see you this morning. Many memories we have associated with Seattle area. Make a look around the room, and some of you have known us all of our lives. Others we met in our teenage years and some of our travels around to various different youth seminars in our drawing process towards the understanding and appreciation of the truth of our Heavenly Father. Others we were privileged to know a little later on in our progression of our walks. For the most part, we've known most of you for so many years. We appreciate your examples of the believers, your steadfastness. And in our Christian walk, one of the things that we've come to recognize more and more is the whole idea that every joint's a pile. And we are so different in our capacities, many times in our trials, and we just appreciate that more and more. I could always remember some of my older brethren in our class, one of the dear ones that are no longer with us, Brother Don Canal, used to say this repeatedly. And I think maybe we are now only beginning to understand what he really meant by that. So, brethren, our subject is then, now, and forever. You can probably come to some conclusions of what the subject might be a little bit about. Him nicely tied in, by the way, a nice selection of the hymn ties in with it. Thinking about what is going on in the world today. Many events. Many astounding, stupendous, and glorious events happening in the world today. We think the central theme of the lot is along the lines of the Jubilee trumpet. Liberty and freedom throughout the land. And we see it everywhere. We think about the progression at this time, and we see these events of how this has progressed. You know, recall the, how in 1799, how the man of sin was broken. The persecution power of the church-state unions of Europe started to be broken to the ashes of Napoleon. They were weakening, of course, because of the reformers prior to that. How they started to be removed and crushed. Things changed. Moving on in history, the spread of liberty. Recall in the Miller Movement, the cleansing of the sanctuary in the 1844-1846 area. I was reading a little bit about, you know, because sometimes we get these numbers about how many U.S. soldiers have died in Iraq. And to put it in perspective, we go back and read a little bit about the Civil War. And how the necessary timing of this war to get that great injustice that was in the United States out of the way before the truth movement started. What wonderful timing that was. But we recall also the negative side of it, that there were more U.S. men and boys lost in the Civil War than in every war since combined. And then coming on the scene when the timing was absolutely correct, both chronologically and how things had been set up in the earth, comes the harvest truth message. To the print of that wise and faithful servant, Brother Charles Taylor. Perfectly timed. And his ministry exactly the right way. And the message was about the Jubilee trump. It was about freedom and liberty throughout the land. And this trump blows louder now than when he first announced it. Oh, does everyone hear it? Of course not. But to the watchers, we hear it and see it, and we are moved by it on a daily basis. What a delight we have to know this, You have the scriptures in the mind of our God, and a secret place is opened up to us ahead of the world of mankind. It is the privilege we have in our spiritual mentality to be in this blessed condition, called sons of God, to have the Holy Spirit, and to be begotten, and to be enlightened by these things. What a wonderful privilege we have for them. And then Brother Russell, the start of World War I, dying at the right appropriate time to be involved in pouring out the plagues on the other side of the veil with the other messengers. Yes, brethren, liberty throughout the land. Now, this hour I want to focus on recalling to our minds the various truths that have had and that continue to have major import in our, in your life, in my life, a transforming influence, making us into someone who we would not otherwise be. Isn't this what the Lord is doing to us? He's making us into someone who we would not otherwise have any hope of being. It's not worth a lot of thought, but if you ever stop to think about where I have, about where I would be if I didn't have a portion of the mind of God in me. Probably been somewhat of a semi-disaster, I'm sure. And for every truth, especially those present truths revealed at this end of the age, there is consequence. For every action, there is a result. For every effort, there is progress. Think about the various different definitions of, like, remember. Remember is to recall to mind with effort, to think again. And it's been proven scientifically that there is a memory association with recall. Circumstances, music, smells, and there is a recall because of this. And we use this quite effectively for ourselves also. In our meetings down in Antioch, the subject came up of obedience. And it's interesting how this ties in to this recalling. The certain secular definitions of obedience, they are inadequate. But when we look at the scriptures into their real meaning, they have to do with the sheep hearing the shepherd's and the master's voice, and they have to do with them following him. And so these definitions have to do with intelligent hearing, with attentive listening, so that we can hear the voice and direction and then follow it. What's a truth? What's a truth? A truth is a conforming to fact or actuality. That's which is considered to be the supreme reality and to have the ultimate meaning and value of existence. Truth and a consequence. A consequence, something that logically or naturally follows from an action or condition, the relation of result to its cause, a logical conclusion or inference. Now, brethren, in order to structure this then, now, and forever with some clarity, we will follow up progression from our first interest in knowing the mind of God and to be obedient to his will, through the accumulation of experiences throughout our walks, to the potentiality of proving our faithfulness. I want you to focus with me on then, now, and forever. Our past experiences, our present blessings, and our future glory. Then, do you remember when you had an increased awareness of your undone condition, dissatisfaction with the world, that good things were, the things of the world, they were good things, but they were not enough, and we had a desire to be better people? And as a consequence of this, you received some light regarding the character of our God, his Son, and his followers. Remember that? Psalms 51:5, we are shaped in iniquity and born in sin. Romans 3:10, we realize that there were none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 5:19, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And we started to get the connection of how we could be reacquainted with our Creator. Do you recall your realization that God is the giver of every good gift and the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him? And how this develops faith and trust in God, His character and purposes? Recall in James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of life, which there is no shadow or variableness of turning. An absolute ability to rely on Him, because He changes not. We begin to recall this, to see this. We start to understand what faith was, as defined in Hebrews 11:1, as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that, in verse 6, without it, that it was impossible to please Him without it. Do you remember when we made contact with one or several of the Lord's people and had a recognition that although they were not perfect, there was something different, there was something peculiar about them? All that. And as a consequence of this, there was a mentoring or a guiding role provided that allowed your questions to be answered, and a picture of future potentials was revealed. Not all of us get the truth. But one of the Lord's people, universally true. Luke 11:33, no man, when after lighting a candle, putteth it in a secret place, but on a candlestick, that they that come in may see the light. And Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. We think about in the context of Isaiah 52:7, how what was a kind of a standard or a litmus test of those that had been spirit begotten and could see the light of the new age. The litmus test was that they would see eye to eye the return of the Lord to Zion. That was the litmus test in Isaiah 52:7. The truth is that then there was a searching and a studying of the Scriptures using the topical guides, the volumes of the seventh messenger. And as a consequence, the plan and territory of our God was opened up to us, along with fundamental truths of ransom, salvation, restitution, and time. Brethren, I know we all became convinced that the truth was the truth from a different part of the pen of Brother Robert. For me, it was a chronological proof, because I kind of needed to have that, I suppose. I needed to have the mathematical proof of which there could be no doubt. I know others told me it was the tabernacle that was what brought them to their minds, and whatever it was, but we began to study. It was opened up to us. We became convinced. The Lord supped with us, as in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together. And He replied, He didn't expect us to follow Him blindly in any way, but with much evidence. Isaiah 55:9, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We began to understand. Ephesians 3:17-18, Christ dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may comprehend the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. Remember when the Lord's drawing became apparent to us? Recall that? A new way or option was revealed to us then for our decision. And we had to make a decision. How then we searched to understand the terms and conditions of what the Lord was offering, resulting in a self-examination and accounting of the costs of acceptance. An appreciation of Jesus' great sacrifice was developed then. The mystery of the church head and body was revealed to us, and the recognition of the captain of our salvation was comprehended. we had enough information to make a decision. Brethren, all of us are different in our decision making. Some of us, the first time the call was offered to us, responded so quickly. I wasn't one of those. It took me longer. I counted for quite some time. But we all went through this process, didn't we, of understanding what it really meant. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And Hebrews 10:20, we realize that it was by a new and living way. And in Luke 14:28, which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? And that's what we went through. It became apparent to us, didn't it, that it was the very best bargain that we could ever make. We could give so little and to have the potential to have so much. No. We realized that we could not pass up that decision. And so here we are, having come to that conclusion, having made that decision correctly. And so then there was an increased awareness of deficits in our characters and behavior. And as a consequence, we began to remove the more obvious sins and deficits, washing at the labor, making a commitment to righteous living. Now there is a change in our priorities, and that priority was observable by others, the beginning of a transition for us. How many of us have had our friends before that weren't our friends anymore because we could no longer engage in the same types of activities? And they wondered, what just happened to them? All of us experience this in some way. Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Recall with me how it became obvious that the Lord's offer must be addressed, that there was some urgency required for our response. I remember reading a reprint article that actually Brother Ron Miller, because he realized I was going through this at the time, pointed out to me. I probably recall the article. That we should not halt too long in our decisions was the point of the article. Well, see, we could not, we cannot fully comprehend it all. But we knew that a great opportunity would be lost by not moving forward. That's what we concluded. 1 Kings 18:12. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. Revelation 3:20. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. So then, our consecration is full and unreserved to the best of our comprehension and ability. And as a consequence, the Lord, through the merit of His Son, has accepted our consecration, and we have received a measure of the Holy Spirit. We have been begotten with the Word of Truth. Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. James 1:18. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of Truth. So that was then. And now, brethren, now we recognize love as a divine requirement and have a sense of duty to be obedient to our Heavenly Father's will and direction. As a consequence, we are arranging our lives, altering our patterns and habits, shifting some of our energies from worldly pursuits. We are changing our focus. Set time aside for individual study and meetings, conventions with our brethren. Now, the now, right now, is different for each one of us here in this meeting today. Because I look around the room, we are all in different stages of our progress and development. many in the room today, in 5 or 10 years, perhaps even months, will have proven faithful, will have finished their course, will have crystallized their characters to the point that there was no mistake that they were deserving of immortality. So we are all in different stages. I am more and more cognizant that as we live these longer lifetimes that we are experiencing, that each of these different decades has specific lessons for our development. And we see it right up into the end of the pursuits of the sacrifice and diligence of our brethren. We see it, we observe it, and we rejoice about it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we are going through this process now. And yes, we realize that there is a great gap. Yes, we realize that there is a great gap between what we are and what we must become. And thus we make habitual effort to fight against our opposition, to reduce the difference between our efforts and intentions and actual development of our characters. This is what we are doing now. Trying to fill this gap. And we have such assistance available to us, don't we? 1 Timothy 6:11, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Ephesians 6:12, we fight not merely against flesh and blood, but also against our adversary and the influences of the world. The truth is that we have an insatiable desire to know the mind and plan of God, to get wisdom and understanding about all the various features of His plan. And as a consequence, we recognize, and we continue to recognize, Brother Russell is the seventh messenger, and we study and we absorb his writings. We see that others have these great truths, and we want to make them our own also. 1 Peter 1:12, which things the angels desire to look into, we get to look into them. Standing in the condition of the holy is revealed to us. Acts 20:27, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole plan of God. And the table was presented in its completeness by the seventh messenger. We read in Matthew 24:47-48, the entire table, blessed is that servant that shall make him ruler over all his goods. And what a job Brother Russell did in presenting that. Now, brethren, as we continue to progress, we are receiving multiple, often repeat experiences designed to test our obedience and loyalty and stand for truth and righteousness. We are having some successes and failures. We rejoice that the Lord is dealing with us in this, because this is an indicator that we are having these successes and failures that our Lord is dealing with. We receive His blessings and corrections. We have an acute awareness that our daily experiences have great import and are selected for our testing and for our development. Psalms 86:15, Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and right and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Hebrews 12:6-9, if ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. 1 Peter 4:12, think it not strange, the fiery trial, as if some strange thing happened unto you. And now, brethren, we are aware of the importance placed upon our obligations to those we are responsible for and have care over. Spouses, children, family, good friends, and especially the brethren, even business associates and employees.
responsibilities and obligations. The Lord is looking to how we deal with all of these things and relationships. And as a consequence, our relationships, they are improving. We are more attentive. We are better intentioned. And we are more deferring of our personal preferences where principle is not involved. 1 Timothy 5:8, if any provide not for his own, especially his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. Galatians 6:10 prompts us to do good to all men, especially unto the household of faith. You know, some of these houses, we were talking this morning, some of these houses were big. They were really spheres of influence. And because the situation was different, more of money concentration in hands, and then others would be dependent. You remember when the expression was, "It's to me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." It was a big house that was being talked about. It, you know, a little more encompassing. And so I think that applies to us also, that our house, you know, where we have influence, we're responsible. Now there is a middle, a maturing cycle of development. As we are now further progressing, our lives and characters are substantially changed. The allocation of our time and talents has been altered. And now as a consequence, we are being given additional opportunities of service towards our brethren, to use our natural talents and to develop others. Recall the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 and the parable of talents in Luke 19. What these were about was being faithful to the talents we had and then being rewarded more and then using them more. The Lord deals with us in this way. The truth is that now we have studied and discussed the writings of the seventh messenger repeatedly with diligence. And as a consequence, the various elements of present truth we have studied and learned form a comprehensive basis for our faith. We are able to express and communicate it to others with a measure of wisdom through our presentation of wisdom and witness efforts. Remember how much that changed? Do you recall the difference when we first had the truth and someone asked us about it? They just got a cord out. Right? Everything that we could possibly know or understand the truth was blurted out in the next 5 minutes. Remember that? So maybe we progressed a little bit in our way of presenting the truth and timely the circumstances when it was appropriate and so forth. Titus 1:9. Hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to by sound doctrine to both exhort and convince the gainsayers. And Hebrews 1:14 tells us that we are all ministering spirits. Now we recognize our common union and have a proved appreciation of our brethren. We have a realization that every joint supplies and is absolutely required, not only does every joint supply, but is absolutely required for the completion of the whole body. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe brother or sister so-and-so that was so different from us, we couldn't understand them that well. To come to an appreciation that they were absolutely essential to the completion of the body. Let's talk about that. It's kind of sobering, isn't it? Makes us wonder about sometimes what goes on in our minds and how to control that. Consequence of this recognition of our common union, we appreciate differences in our talents and efforts. We see the progress of our brethren and we delight in it. This is something that I think is part of our maturing. That we can see the progress in our brethren and we find so much joy in that. You know, brethren, we know about our battles with the flesh. We are so intimate with them personally. we can't have the same appreciation of our brethren because something that is difficult for them may be easy for us, and something that is easy for them is so difficult for us. We see the progress of brethren, we see the battling going on, and we certainly do delight in them. We know that we are often not alike according to the flesh, our natural talents and weakness, and our dispositions, they're all varied. But our union, however, is based on something else. It is based on our spiritual sameness, our common goals, our aspirations, our experiences, and our trials. This is what brings us together. You know, for the most part, all of us in this room don't have a lot of commonality in other areas. We all do different things for a living, probably have different hobbies and things that we like. We are brought together by this one thing, our goals and aspirations. 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing, it is not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread, the communion of the body of Christ. It goes along with our hymn, 122. I can pull up the scripture. I don't have it written down. A little pause. Ephesians 4:14-16. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. This is a description of the fact it doesn't work with every joint. It's impossible for the body to move if you're missing a piece. Isn't it incredible the instruction that we have along these lines? You know, you recall that the third quarter mark was the love of the brethren. The truth is that with increased knowledge, there is increased responsibility, and we are given many opportunities to test our characters upon the lines of our learning. This is the cycle that was so expressed that we feel every day and was so expressed so adequately by Brother Russell. This cycle of knowledge and experience. And testing and more knowledge and experience. And as a consequence, the adversary may see us as a greater threat. So how about that? We know this, don't we? We have more opportunities to test our character, and as a consequence, the adversary may see us as a greater threat as we progress. And the Lord will allow it. The Lord will allow it. Because more difficult experiences are required to test us as thoroughly as we need to be tested. Ephesians 6:13, though, we've got a whole bunch of tools. I'm going to turn to that here now also. We're very familiar with it. About putting on the whole armor of God, we may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're here, brethren, we're living this, we're doing this right now. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the truth that we've learned, the blessed plate of righteousness, the impact upon our characters, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, this great condition that directs the movement, directs our movements and decisions, and the shield of faith, and so forth, and the sword of the Spirit. All these things we have, and there's one thing that is absolutely true, if we don't use every one of them, we will be defeated. But the Lord has given to us freely. They are accessible to us. In more ways, in abundance, than we could possibly even comprehend, we have these tools. Now, right now, the blessing and gifts of our Heavenly Father has given us, they're overwhelming. Have the sense that they're overwhelming. They overwhelm us. And as a result, our love and devotion to Him has progressed from a sense of duty and obedience to a heightened appreciation and thankfulness for being kept and developed in His loving care and having a portion of His mind. portion, his mind, his secret place is revealed to us. Can you imagine someone as almighty and powerful and omniscient as our Heavenly Father taking us in and showing us his secret places? You ever remember as a child when you had something really special? You know? And you take your best friend, you hope you could trust him
with him.
And you take him in to show your new special toy or something that you have. What a lot of trust that was. You didn't want it broken. It was very important to you. You didn't want it abused or misused. Our Heavenly Father has taken us into his most secret and best places, and he has showed us his mind. 2 Corinthians 9:14. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And the Colossians 1:27. This mystery which we are discussing, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We see the connection between our walks now and our goals in Romans 8:16 to 18. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. That shall be revealed in us. The truth is that the importance to us upholding to the standard understanding of present truth cannot be underestimated. It must never be underestimated. As a consequence, there are many attacks upon present truth doctrine that we have known and proved within the Bible student movement, and these are also designed to test and strengthen our faith. You know, we're out in the world all the time, and we have tests associated with that. We live in the hour of temptation, and the tests associated with that. But the ones that are the most difficult oftentimes amongst the brethren themselves. These things. 2 Timothy 4:3. They shall not endure sound doctrines, they shall be teachers having itchy ears. You know, brethren, we come in to the meeting today. And for the most part, the skills that we have that we use in the world, some of the techniques and talents that we've developed that are required in our profession, we leave them at the door because they're not appropriate inside the Bible student movement. Well, it's enough said on that. I think you know what I'm alluding to. We like the truth how it is. That's the truth how it was given to us. And we don't need to come up with some brand new idea that makes us seem more important than we could possibly ever be. We just don't need to do that. We have everything that we need. Now, constantly before our minds is a standard of perfect love towards our God, the brethren, the household of faith, all men, even our enemies. Boy, that's a tough one. I'll tell you. That's that fourth quarter mark, right? Even our enemy. Very difficult, sobering thing. It's the standard of what our characters must become, though. That those would abuse us and do wrong towards us and say false accusations against us and try to hurt us. We must love them also. High standard. But the Lord does not expect us to get there immediately. And this is part of what our discussions today are about. All these opportunities for progression and renewal. And this constant cycle of increased understanding and character testing. And here we have this assurance in Philippians 1:6. We are confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform unto the day of Jesus Christ. We have no doubt, none, that our Heavenly Father will fulfill his part of the arrangement. And we have no doubt that if we allow ourselves to be malleable and obedient to his will, that he will complete it. Seems like a simple statement, doesn't it? Simple statement and a difficult process for us. Brethren, now because of our privileges in the light of the new age, the great clarity of present truth is such that we are able to interpret scriptural prophecies and fulfillments in time sequence and date specificity, and as a consequence, we marvel at the fulfillment of the appointed times and seasons of the Lord on a daily basis. We can't pick up a newspaper or look at the television, listen to the radio, walk down the street, get on an airplane. You know, that's what Sister Laurie and I have been doing. We've been contributing to the fulfillment of the prophecy running to and fro. And it's without much sweat and effort. It's amazing. The truth is, we recognize through the pen of the messenger that our Lord has returned and is reigning, and he is establishing a new and an everlasting kingdom. We have multiple chronological proofs in this regard, from the time of the end fulfillments, the 1260 years, to 1330 years, the Reformation, the Millennium, the termination of the 2300 years, to the cleansing of the sanctuary in 1846, the Jubilee type, the Antitype, the legal and the prophetic, pointing to 1874. 6,000 years from the fall, Israel has doubled in related time parallels. The ending of the times of the Gentile dominion in 1914, the plagues of society, social revolutions, and etc. We recognize all this. What a delight. Consequently, brethren, recognizing the many great and concurrent works and events that are being accomplished during this overlapping of the age period, the end of the age, the harvest, the time of the end, the day of Jehovah, is all the same thing. And we marvel at the acceleration and magnitude of the process. Now, currently, the evidence that the kingdom is in progress through the efforts of our returned Lord and the risen saints is everywhere. You ever thought about that? This idea of their works to follow them? You know, our faithful brethren that we've seen the crystallization of their characters, we have a reasonable degree of confidence that they were faithful. A reasonable expectation of that, having observed them. And what they're doing now? They had the light before. It was ingrained in them. And now they have the power. What do you think they're doing? They're doing what we see every day. That's what they're doing. It is concurrently and continuously mounting, and it is undeniable. Recognizing this, we rejoice, knowing that as we see these things come to pass, our deliverance is near. We recall the progress of the presence of our Lord in Matthew 24:27. As a bright shining out of the east, even unto the west. We saw this morning up at the Andrus home, how this time of year there's a lot of dew on the grass, and this bright shining in the morning comes up, and it starts to progress and get more intense. And that dew of renewal. Our Lord is referred to as the dew of the morning because of the refreshing he has brought in the light of the day. And the progression towards the establishment of the kingdom here. The kingdom has been established. The kings of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. And that's why everything that we see is happening. Now there is a significant passage of time, about 86 years in the change of Brother Russell. His work that's forth with greater power is on the other side of the veil now. But as a consequence, there's a test of time upon the feet members of the church. And some imagine a tearing. Others doubt the chronological proof, scoffing at the signs of our Lord's presence. There is a polarization of extremists in the Bible student movement between everything most is past and everything most is future. The reality is that the process is upon us to observe and to marvel at. This is the reality. The process is upon us to observe and to marvel at. There is an increased sense of urgency in our individual walks associated with this and towards the completion of the mystery in us. You know, it's interesting that all of us can have expectations of things, ideas that we come up with. It's a human tendency. But we can't ever let our expectations override the fact of the progressing fulfillment of our Lord's kingdom. We can't let it override that. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes. I'm going to go into the end. The forever part. Then, now, and forever. And the end. The end associated with the crystallization of character. Our future reward is beyond our full comprehension. We've spoken about this. It is great, and the opportunity to receive its magnitude is finite. It has been revealed to us that we must be thoroughly tested, and we continue to be along the lines of obedience and discipline to the will of our God. This is a substantial test amongst the brethren presently. The test of discipline, time, energy, fleshly tendencies in an environment of more leisure time during this hour of temptation. How else could we be trusted with immortality? The Lord will make no mistakes. This is the wonder of it. Actually, brethren, I've always found great comfort in that. Could you imagine Him entrusting us with something that we really weren't prepared to handle? It would be disaster. It won't happen. We have had the privilege in these past several years to observe the crystallization of character in our brethren as they finish their course. We can name specific names, but the list is long. Okay? Most recent in our ecclesia was Sister Lydia Hannum. We had the privilege to see this. Many of you had similar privileges. This provides us with a glimpse into our futures. To observe their uplifting examples to us of the believers, steadfast to the very end. Brethren, this is one of the most remarkable privileges that we have. I know that all of you have taken advantage of it, but it is a remarkable privilege. Because these are examples of what is possible. They are examples of what is possible. Remember, they're like us. The same things, the same weaknesses, the same things to overcome. And now we see them as examples of what is possible through obedience and discipline. And we rejoice to see the signalness of their purpose. And this is one common thing about this crystallization of character we have observed. There becomes just this total singleness of their purpose. There is an intense desire to go to their reward. Their spiritual minds are set as a flint upon the mark to be faithful under very difficult course-ending experiences. We visit these brethren, and this is what we see. We see this one thing I do. We see crystallization. We see that steadfastness. They want to know, have they been faithful in everything? Similar to our Lord's comment. Would expect that from His followers, similar to our Lord's comment. Had He really done everything? Philippians 3:13, this one thing I do, reaching forth unto these things which are before. Isaiah 50:7-8, for the Lord will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? God before us. who can be against us. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. 1 Peter 5:2-4. Feed the flock, be examples, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory. It fadeth not away. In the future, we who are mortal must put on immortality, be changed to a form incorruptible, to serve the Lord's purposes forevermore, the ages to come. Isn't that what it is for us? That is our desire. Why do we want to be faithful? Why do we want to have immortality? If one thing drives us, that we want to be more useful and of more service under those conditions. That's what drives us. If our motivation were anything else, it would not work. To complete our course, we must be chiseled and ground into an acceptable member of the temple class, put in a place reserved for us without the sound of a hammer. You recall how in the preparation for Solomon's temple, that the stones were made off in the quarry where they were chiseled and polished outside in the quarry, primarily amongst the Canaanites, who there were laborers to do that. And when they came to the temple site, they were placed into the temple perfectly because they were so perfectly suited and fitted that they were placed, those large stones were placed into their predetermined position without the sound of a hammer. That's what happened to us. To this end, our new wills and minds continue to be energized, our characters developed, our natural man being put under more and more, and our spiritual new creatures growing more and more until our change comes. 1 Kings 6:7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer, nor axe, nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building. That's actually the assembly of the building. Brethren, we want to hear this. We want to hear this. Matthew 25:21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Brethren, we trust that this reminder of some of the experience and progression will revitalize some of our thoughts, some of our intentions and desires. How the Lord has dealt with us all these many years. How faithful and consistent he has been with us. You remember the story of the on the beach of the footprints? How there were two walking along beside each other with these footprints. And the weaker said to his Lord, Lord, what happened? I see the footprints, and in my darkest, most difficult time, there's only one set of footprints. Did you leave me? Not exactly. That was when, my son, I carried you. And we have the comfort of knowing that if we are malleable, if we are teachable, that our Lord, through our advocate, will carry us to the completion of our course. Go ahead.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Yes, we have a duty, a privilege, and, of course, a goal to be found faithful that we might hereafter reap the reward of the divine nature, to be servants forever.
Now, brethren, our time has passed, so we'll simply ask Brother Robert to take us to the throne of grace.
Our loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of being with these dear ones of life, precious faith, echoing in our hearts and minds, thank goodness, Lord. Thank you, Father, that was revealed to us, I think, a portion of my mind and allowed us to interpret the events in the earth and here we go. Remember that people the world over in their various circumstances and the various efforts that making the system and making their calling and lessons sure. And for ourselves, we ask forgiveness for our shortcomings in the precious name of Jesus.